warning through tonight. Today,
3 p.m., we're going to start a regular meeting in Aleutians East Borough. Beverly, roll call.
Chris?
Here.
Jim?
Here.
Lauren?
Here.
Josie, excuse Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Bailey is excused. Anton?
Here.
Tom? Tom?
Okay. Okay, thank you. So, do we have anybody in the King Cole office? No, they're all here.
Yes, you have me, Mr. Mayor. Chris Babcock here is in the King Cole office.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Colby? Nelson Lagoon? False Pass, Sandpoint, Akatan, and Anchorage.
You want to use it?
Yeah.
Call me. We got Beverly, Mayor Osterbach, Jim, Brenda, Paul, Sam, Warren, Talia, myself, Annie. Then we've got Melvin Larson, Julian Manos, Charlotte, Ernie, Jackie, Gunora, and Seward.
Okay.
Go.
Thank you. So, do we need a motion to adopt the agenda?
Motion, Warren.
Warren.
I'll second it, Chris.
In a second. Anybody have any corrections to the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, this is Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'd like if under new business we could put on there the power outage incident that happened in Cold Bay.
We'd be adding to the agenda, and we've been trying to keep away from that, but if you would like, you can bring it up under assembly comments. And then if there's
any... Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Any others?
Mr. Mayor, just a general comment that... you know, we have no workshop, which is fine. We've talked about this in the past. But if we have no workshop, which I think could occur more often, we might move our meeting up to one to make better use of our time. That's all.
Thank you. Oh, yes, we brought that up before.
Yeah, yeah. Repeat again. Probably repeat it again later.
Okay. Okay, if there's no corrections to the agenda, and if there's no objections, the agenda will stand as written. Any public comments on the agenda? Okay. And assembly, if anyone feels they have a conflict of interest with any item on the agenda, now would be a good time. Hearing none. Before you, you have minutes for December 14th. You need a motion on the table. Thank you.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Everybody's had a chance to look at them. Any corrections or additions needed to the minutes? Hearing none. If there's no objections, and is written. Financials. A motion and a second to bring them on the table.
I make a motion, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Second.
Thank you, Warren. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So in the packet are the November 2023 financials. This is 41.6% into our fiscal year. Just a few things to point out is that the borough did only receive about $7,000 in raw fish tax in November 2023. $1,500 of that was from the seafood processors for November fisheries, and the remainder was from smaller processors from prior months. So basically the $1,500 that we did receive is about 1.4% of the five-year average of the November fish tax, which is typically around $104,000, and it's about 0.9% of the 10-year average, which usually averages about $160,000 per month. So that's not necessarily, well, it's not a good situation, but I just wanted to point that out. And just also to point out, our December financials are not done, but as of right now, we're not expecting to receive any fish tax revenue in December of 2023. On the plus side, though, if you look at the first page under R01201, which is interest revenue, we continue to grow our interest revenue. So in November of 2023, we received $146,000 in interest, which is great. We already have exceeded our expectation of $500,000 at $612,000 for through November. So that's fantastic news. So we'll continue to monitor this and decide where to put the money to make the most money. So and invest everything wisely. And to date, we have collected 69.03% of the year's anticipated revenues. However, with the fish tax being so low, we'll just keep an eye on it. So, anyway, other than that, everything else is tracking along like it should under the expenditure line items. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie?
Paul? Just two quick ones. The interest here, which principal are we collecting interest on this amount?
I forgot. Jackie, do you know? Under the general fund, under R01, what accounts do you know?
Those accounts are going to be the AMLIT accounts. Do you want like a specific account? Because we have them split between the grant, funds that are for grants, and then funds that are just general use. If you do that in more detail, I could look here in a minute and pull them up exactly. But we have like our maintenance reserve is generating interest. In the general fund, our operational reserve is generating interest. The point one that we use for our cash flow management is generating interest. Our transportation fund is generating interest. The funds that we set aside for projects are generating interest in the general fund. And then if there are some interest revenue lines in like fund 41, which is from our maintenance reserve, fund 20, which is like from our treasury funds that we can't use on anything else, and then fund 24 is also generating interest off of our bond funds that are sitting there in the trust account.
Thank you. And the tax revenues that we're getting through this report and mentioned when we're expected for December, are all of our processing partners caught up when their taxes are due, you think?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Your investment report is in your packet, leading player. We don't have anything under consent agenda or public hearings. Ordinances, we have one. So we have ordinance 2402, amending Title II, Chapter 2.04, Section 2.04.050 of the Code of Ordinances. We need a motion and a second to bring it on the table.
So moved. It's tribal.
Thank you, Brenda.
Second.
Jim. Thanks, Jim. Annie?
I'm going to defer to Beverly.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor and Assembly. Ordinance 24-02 is amending Title II, Chapter 2.04, Section 2.04.050. Zero of the Aleutian Peace Borough Code of Ordinances. The legislative power of the Aleutian Peace Borough is vested in the Borough Assembly under the Alaska Statute Title 29, Chapter 20, Section 050. The Borough has adopted Borough Municipal Code of Ordinances, which includes filling seat vacancy for an Assembly member. The Borough decides to amend the Code to establish a process for filling the vacant seat Assembly seat. The Borough Code Section 1.04 provides that the code may be amended by the Act of the Assembly. The administration worked with the best law group to update the code and suggest adding the following subsections. A, if less than 45 days remain in a term, the vacant seat shall not be filled. if a seat is declared vacant and more than 45 days remain in the term, then the clerk shall publish reasonable public notice of the vacancy, and for 14 days after the first publication thereof, receive applications from persons interested in being appointed to the vacant seat. The Assembly may review the applications and or interview applicants in any reasonable manner, not later than 45 days after the seat is declared vacant. The Assembly shall appoint from among the applicants a qualified person to fill the vacant seat. C. In appointing a person from among the applicants, the Assembly, by vote of a majority of its remaining members, shall designate a person to fill the vacancy. D. Notwithstanding the subsection B of this section, if the membership of the Assembly is reduced to fewer than 5 Assembly members, then the remaining Assembly members shall appoint as many qualified persons to the Assembly as is necessary to once again constitute a quorum. The Assembly shall utilize any procedure which is reasonable under the circumstances in making the appointments required by this section, and shall make said appointments not later than 7 days after the quorum was reduced to less than 5 Assembly members. And letter E, persons appointed to fill a vacancy shall serve until the next regular election, at which time a successor shall be elected to fulfill the remainder of the expired term of the office. Therefore, administration recommends approval of Ordinance 24-02, amending the Title 2, Chapter 2.04, Section 2.04.050 of the Aleutian East Borough Code of Ordinances. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Questions? Trevor?
Okay. What drove the introduction of the ordinance, or a particular reason that's on this agenda?
Well, as we're going through all of our codes, ordinances, and what have you, one of the things that we noticed is we didn't have any way to fill a seat, properly. So Beverly did some research with other clerks, and this got adopted out of what most of the other communities do. So it's just, as we've been going through this since the last few years, just keep improving, updating, making it modernizing, I guess. So
right now what we have on our code, it only says vacancy occurs in the Assembly. The Assembly, by vote of a majority of its remaining members, shall designate a person to fill the vacancy within 30 days. But it doesn't specify how are we going to fill that, or what procedures we should follow to fill that vacancy. It only says we need to fill the vacancy within 30 days.
So this kind of takes it, I guess, the way it was before, we could figure out whichever way we wanted to do it, but this specifies, so, and it makes it more open. So we'd have to advertise it, and anybody in the borough could apply for it. I think that's a better way to go.
Quick follow-up, and so second reading will be February on this.
Other questions? Okay, question on the motion to schedule.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha? Oh, yes. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So we have 4 resolutions before us. So the first one is Resolution 2422, amending the Aleutian East Borough Employee Handbook. We need a motion on a second.
Move,
Brenda. Okay. Second. Thank you, Lauren. And?
So thank you. So this resolution is something, the employee handbook is something that came up during our strategic planning years ago. Every year we try to go back and look through it, improve it, change it, make things better, statutorial changes at maybe Alaska statute level to stuff with COBRA or whatever it might be. So We did start reviewing this, and per Alaska statute, it authorizes municipalities to create and implement a personnel system to govern the terms of municipal employment pursuant to the authority of the Aleutians Borough Code of Ordinances, which directed the borough to adopt a personnel policy, which is why we have it. The employee handbook, we went through a comprehensive review in early 2023, and it was updated and approved on March 9th, 2023, and since then we've gone back and revisited it. So what we would like to are proposing as changes is to add two employee classifications. So to Section 2.4.1, we would add probationary employees and contract employees. So there's definitions in there for that. We currently have contract employees in Cold Bay, but there was no definition of their position in our handbook, so that's been added, and also the probationary employees. The other section is 3.3.1, which is for internal appointments. We're proposing adjustments to this section. The new language does not require administration to publish a notice or take applications for vacant positions that the administration intends to fill with a qualified individual who is already currently employed by the borough in another capacity. However, how this language is reads is we can or we don't have to. It's a little more open to interpretation there, but that's been proposed. There is a area in the handbook where there's a chart with all the employee benefits. We added a few footnotes to COBRA. Currently, we do not offer COBRA to our employees when they leave because we are an employer of 20 or less. We don't have to offer that, and we haven't been. So that's just to clarify there, and there's also a footnote with family medical leave just to reference where that section's at. Number four is for floating holidays. I did make a clerical error. It should be Section 5.3.2. which is, I would say, clerical in nature, so we'll make a change in the resolution for that. And I don't think a motion needs to happen, but that just added some verbiage to ensure that floating holidays, like our other holidays for the employees, need to be scheduled in advance with written approval from administration. Section 5.46 is for donation of vacation leave to other employees. We changed some of the verbiage in there to provide more clarification regarding when donated vacation leave can be used. 5.4.7 is for cashing out vacation leave. We added the following language, which says, depending on the circumstances, additional cash-out requests may be approved. Some employees do have a lot of vacation leave, so there might be instances where instead of doing what we currently do, it might be more appropriate to have some flexibility in there to cash out more leave if needed. 6.9, it's very minor, but since Borough currently does not have a communications director, we took out reference to that position. And then the organizational chart has been updated, and the only change to that chart was the Assistant Natural Resources Director has been changed to the Fishery Analyst because we made that change recently. The Assembly made that change. So those were the changes. They're in here. If you have any questions, please let me know. But like I said, every year we'll be going through this and bringing updates to the Assembly that we think should be changed. Thank you.
Questions? Okay. Question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So we have Resolution 2423 requesting a fishery disaster determination for the 2023 North Alaska Peninsula Commercial Sockeye Salmon Fishery. We need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor.
I'll make a motion. This is Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Second by Brenda. Ernie, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On this agenda item, there are three documents. The memo, there's a letter from Concerned Area Fisherman President Steve Brown, and then the resolution. We received a letter requesting support for a fishery disaster determination for the North Alaska Peninsula fishery, a salmon fishery. On the memo, all these lists of numbers from 2013 to 2023, all these numbers come from the first three links at the bottom, except for one number, and that would be the 2023 average sockeye price. But otherwise, these all came from Department of Fish and Game. And so then, well, the process is there. You request a determination for a fishery disaster. There is either approved or it's not. Then there's an appropriation that would then go to ADF&G to develop a spend plan, and that would need to be approved by NIMS and OMB, and that goes to Pacific States Marine Fishery Commission, and then it's dispersed. The long putt's too long. By the time money is out, the fishery disaster is long over. But that's the process. And we've requested disaster determinations before in the past. And so if you look at the salmon harvest for this past year, they were down 55% from the previous 5- and 10-year average, and the sockeye price was down 53% compared to the previous 5-year average. And then that kind of multiplies down towards the bottom. The ex-vessel value for this season for the total fishery was down 81%. And anything 80% or above kind of turns out to be a disaster. That's the general feeling. Anyway, this resolution, if approved by the Assembly, would be sent to the Secretary of Commerce and the Governor, and with a letter by the Mayor using some of this information to back up the request. And I can answer any questions. I'm sure there might be some.
Questions for Ernie?
Paul?
Yes, thanks, Ernie. This Northside request, kind of define that because there's, you know, Rilla Bay and then Nelson Groom and Port Mueller. Just make sure we're all talking about the same thing.
Right. So, I mean, it kind of includes all of that. These guys were sort of requesting just for set and drift net, but when you're looking at the total ex-vessel value, that number is for even for Eurilla Bay and all those others, but mainly we're talking about sockeye.
Okay, and then at the bottom of your memo, you said National Resource Department recommends approval, but it doesn't mention the administration of the boroughs that
Right. And it's because I didn't get back to the borough. But I put there that's recommended because of that 81% drop in the value. So, generally we put both.
But I did miss that one final question. What percentage drop on the south side was there?
I couldn't tell you, but the south side was buoyed by a lot of people who fished for pinks, and pinks made a lot of people's seasons. So I don't have that information, Paul. But I can bring it together. I know that there's going to be other requests maybe from communities in the future. But I don't have that information, Paul, at this point.
And I'll just ask one more question. If we pass this, what's the next step? Immediate next step?
We would, I'll develop a letter for Mayor consideration, and it would use some of this information, and it'll go along with the resolution. It would be sent to the Secretary of Commerce and the Governor. Governor would he would give it to the department, and they would come up with some of the same information, and the Secretary of Commerce would either approve or deny the request. And again, then it would go, what would they say, it was then there's an appropriation made by the Congress or not, and then if there's an appropriation, the department would develop a spend plan, and it would have to be approved by NIMS and OMB, sent to Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission for dispersal. That's kind of the process.
Did a similar declaration pass it for Nelson Gould a year or two ago? Did anything ever materialize there?
Yeah, as I put kind of in my report, Nelson Lagoon is pending, and there's not been an appropriation. Hasn't been.
And that would be from the governor's office.
Secretary, Commerce is the one who makes that.
That's the state level. No, federal level? Okay.
Yeah. There was a letter from the governor.
Oh, there was? I thought I saw it. Okay.
Yeah. But it's pending.
But we're going to the Secretary of Commerce right now with this?
We can.
Yes.
We can go directly.
Okay. But you do as an assessor.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Mayor,
yeah.
On that Nelson Lagoon one, there is, as I read it, and I could pull it up, and that anybody could pull it up on that very last link, but there was some information that they needed. There was more information needed for that.
So we come back around full circle already just because of that, the Northside Village that actually put in the declaration, but was that for a fish disaster, or that's a community disaster because they have their money from the fish. I can't remember that part.
I think it was for your community, wasn't it?
The community of Nelson Lagoon has put a request to us, and we honored that and put one into the governor.
But that, I'm sure that was a fish number, more or less. That's kind of... Because, like, this year, the price, 70 cents versus 150. Over half, or 55 or whatever. Well, everybody on the North Peninsula, which is the Port Muller fleet, mostly the concerned area and fishermen there that are doing this, and well, we definitely could. They were looking for a foundation to put this declaration out there, so we're the body to do
with,
I guess.
Yeah, well,
the organ agency to do it.
Yeah, and you know, in the past, I think we've always honored these. And the thing is, that's our raw fish tax too.
Yeah,
on our side, which is pretty substantial.
And I think in the letter that they wrote, basically, you know, it was for the
drift fleet and the set nets on the north side.
Oh,
so. The way they worded it, and it's not a, I mean, we could sign it, approve it, and send it on, and then it's up to NOAA and Department of Commerce what they do with it.
Yeah. Well, we're all hands down for our fisheries to keep them healthy, and then when a disaster does happen, we have to recognize that and show the stakeholders, which are fishermen, that we're behind them. So that's all.
Other comments?
As this is from the area on drift, and we foresee having other areas in our region put in, would you want them all to go forward all at once?
Well, there's no set timeline, and so it could happen at any time, and
and we can't hang on to them because we don't know that there's any others coming.
Correct.
Right.
It wouldn't hinder the other.
No.
Okay.
Other comments? Paul?
Yeah. Ernie, at the bottom of your report, mentioned this was down 81% in revenue this year. You quote, any economic loss of 80% or more is generally considered a disaster. Who makes that determination of 80%, I guess?
So I had gotten that like 10 years ago in a personal communication from the Department of DCCED, whichever the community, the State Department, the Alaska State Department of Commerce, whatever that title is. That, somebody told me that. If it's 80%, that's going to turn out to be a disaster. Doesn't have to be. There's not written anywhere except in this, in my notes.
I would support it, particularly based on that criteria. And we do divide our fishery normally north side, south side, so it makes logic. Trying to figure out, make sure we're fair to, equally fair to all our fishermen. So, thank you.
Other comments? Hearing none. Question or question?
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jane?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Fourth, we have Resolution 2424, thanking the Alaska delegation and notably Senator Sullivan for a successful effort to close the Russian seafood ban loophole. We need a motion and a second to be made, please.
A motion.
Thank you, Warren.
Second.
Thanks, Jim.
You want this one?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On this one, there's just a memo and then the resolution. This was suggested by the mayor, and so I did put as a recommendation from the administration and the Natural Resources Department, but many of you probably already know President Biden signed an amendment to an earlier executive order. That earlier executive order banned seafood from Russia. There's a history from when Obama signed an executive order that had certain sanctions on Russia back in 2014 from the Russian invasion of Crimea, and the result of that was Russia banned all food products from the U.S., which kind of hurt our industry. And so after the invasion of Ukraine, there was this executive order 14068, which banned all Russian-caused seafood, but there was a loophole because Russian seafood was going through China, being processed, and then making its way into the U.S. Senator Sullivan was leading the charge, was never able to get legislation passed. He did it before the original EO, and then again in front of this amendment to the EO. So his leadership was one of the main reasons why this happened. And I consider it a game changer, and I'm hoping that it really does change the markets in the U.S. and especially Alaska. Anyway, this would be sent to Senator Sullivan and the delegation, and possibly with a cover letter from the mayor.
Okay. Comments? Questions? Paul?
Yeah. Thank you. It appears that everybody on the West Coast is supporting it. I've read some comments from the East Coast. There's a couple of groups that are unhappy, but it seemed like a logical thing to do. There's a law of unintended consequences. It's kind of a complicated thing, but I would support it. It's a resolution.
Seems like Senator Markey, his state has Gordon Seafood, and they like being able to get that bollock and whatnot from him. Thanks, Paul.
Other comments? Hearing none. Questions or more?
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. We have Resolution 2425 recommending actions to support efforts to improve competitiveness and resilience of the Alaska seafood industry. We need a motion and a second.
Don't move, Brenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. I also have an agenda statement and an attached report that goes with it, which I'll talk about, as well as the resolution. So, as you all know, commercial fisheries are critically important to the borough and our communities and serves as a primary source of local employment, comprises a large portion of AEB tax revenue. And the borough has seen firsthand, especially recently, the devastating effects that the seafood market can have on the economic viability of our local fishing fleet, processors, and communities dependent on fish tax revenue. Alaska Seafood currently faces exceptional national and global challenges, including trade policy and non-reciprocal tariffs that favor other nations, high supply and inventory, high cost and inflation, reduced consumer demand, and global competitors that are less regulated, less sustainable, and or have lower operating costs than domestic seafood producers. In efforts to improve global competitiveness of Alaska commercial seafood have benefits to the entire seafood industry, including harvesters, processors, support businesses, so on and so forth. Some of these efforts are already underway by federal agencies. NOAA is currently creating an implementation plan for national seafood strategies, which necessitates collaboration across multiple national agencies and affects the viability of Alaska seafood. And the federal government's Trade Promotion Coordinating Committee issued the 2023 National Export Strategy that includes a chapter on seafood industries and highlights forthcoming efforts to improve interagency coordination and global market competitiveness for domestic seafood processors. So several organizations, including Pacific Seafoods Processors Association, the PSPA, and United Fishermen of Alaska, UFA, have been very involved in developing these strategies, also AFNI, but they've come out with some published platforms and stances and some solutions to these challenges. PSPA has published a brief report outlining the status of the Alaska seafood industry and identified several key recommendations at the federal level that would help stabilize the Alaskan seafood market. These changes could significantly benefit the borough and our communities and constituents, and we believe it's critical that support for these recommendations is communicated at both the state and federal level. And I didn't include this, but I would just add that I think the hope is having a resolution in place could be communicated to the Alaska delegation and the governor and be available for future communications about this issue. So with that, the Natural Resource Department recommends approval of Resolution 2425, recommending actions to support efforts to improve competitiveness and resilience of the Alaska seafood industry. Those strategies are outlined in the report as well as the resolution, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you.
Questions for Carl?
Okay. Thank you. Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. We have nothing on the old business. New business advisory appointment.
So we advertise the seat for advisory every year, and we advertised it last December, and I received letters from both Tom Hobnett from Falstaff and Samantha McNeely from Nelson's Lagoon, and they expected to start to remain in the Solutions East Borough advisory seat. I attached their letter to the packet.
Have any questions? Just let me know. Okay, thank you. So we have the two seats open, and both present incumbents, I guess it's all, have both reapplied. So we need a motion and a second to approve them one at a time or both together. Paul?
Move that we approve the recommendations of the land seats in the packet.
Okay.
Samantha and Tom.
Okay. Second by Brenda. Any discussion? Hearing none. Motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. We're down to reports and updates. Annie, you can read this off.
Yeah, so in the packet is my report. I'll keep this pretty brief. We've had a really good 2 days of strategic planning. A lot of the projects we've been working on have been discussed. One that really wasn't discussed a lot was the Cold Bay Clinic. You know, we received HRSA funds to conduct that work for that facility, and just an update is that we did sign on January 2nd, 2024, we signed the AIA contract with UIC for the design phase services. They are beginning to work on the 95% design, and we hope to have that project completed in June of 2024, which would be exciting to have that project finished. Falstaff School, we did sign an agreement with Long in the amount of $53,000 to replace the water heater and conduct repairs to the air handling unit for the next steps. Now that the heat's back up, this isn't such an emergency, so we'll be getting them out there soon. Conduct that work. And then the pool, we have signed an agreement with Renesis in the amount of $19,859.20 to conduct gutter and liner repairs. We've paid the first 50%. We're now in the queue, and we're getting them out there soon. And then a work order with Living Waters is in the works for the plumbing repairs. That will happen hopefully at the same time. So that is moving forward. And for both the false paths and the Sandpoint School, we're proposing to use the LATCF funds because those can be used for maintenance. As I mentioned, we had the strategic planning session yesterday and today. I really want to thank everybody for their attendance, their engagement. Today was fantastic. There was a lot of ideas and things to discuss today that I think will be really helpful in giving direction to administration on where to go forward on projects. Thank you to the fishermen for attending that came as well, and Mark Hickey and others. So I think that was pretty successful. And then there is a list of meetings. So we will have our meeting on February 18th at the regular time, just so everybody knows. So Thursday, February 8th, regular meeting in all the designated locations. So if there's any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie? Paul?
Just a short one on the end. The last word on your full report was sooner, and you mentioned some timeline. But what do you expect? I assume there's nobody else. It's not we're not working on it.
No, there's not. So we just got in a queue for Renesis, so they're going to be telling us their timeline on when they can get a technician out there. And I, since I've been working on the strategic plan, I've not had a chance to follow up with anybody this week. But I hope to have an update, and I can send you guys an email as soon as I know for the assembly. So I'm waiting on the technicians to tell me when they can make it out. They're from Indianapolis.
Soon means yesterday to me. Okay. Some people it means
soon. Not yesterday, but soon. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions for Annie? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Tonya?
All right. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I'm going to start off with the Healthy and Equitable Communities Grant. So as of December 7th, not much has changed since the last assembly meeting. The award for this Village of Nelson Lagoon is still currently in the Port of Chinook. In speaking with Paul Mueller, he has stated that it will probably stay there until the spring. I am still working with Affordable Funeral Supply to still work out some logistics to see if we can perhaps get that shipped out a little bit sooner than later. On January 3rd, I did submit the quarterly narrative to the state of Alaska, and I was able to confirm with Jackie, so thank you, Jackie, that we did receive a reimbursement for about $36,000 for the two initial morphs. The borough still has $72,000 available that can be used to complete the shipping to Nelson Lagoon. And I've also been told that we could also propose another project to address COVID-related health disparities. So if anyone has any ideas, I am very open. Please do let me know. Maintenance connection. I'm still checking on the website. Annie and I do meet every bi-weekly or so. Not so much with the holidays and strategic planning going on, but we do meet to discuss work orders that are coming in, differentiate what's the responsibility of the borough and the school district, and then from there figure out what's the high priority and who's going to handle what. And again, Dow has been great in assisting us with that process. False pass maintenance, they were experiencing some issues with the water heater and boiler, and on December 28th, with the assistance of Nikki Hoblet, Shane Hoblet, and Steve, and I'm going to probably butcher his last name, Kunstuck, okay, the girl was able to successfully order and purchase the parts that they needed for repair, and Shane was able to confirm that the repair has been resolved for now, so as Annie was saying, there's not so much of an urgency to get Long out there, but they will be heading back to False Pass to finalize the full repair. On January 3rd, Wired AK, again, did successfully make it to False Pass, and they were able to conduct electrical improvements due to power surges that they were having. They completed a majority of the work, except for some of the issues with the fire alarm that wasn't initially on the report. Long will be traveling to False Pass again to finalize that repair, and standpoint, things are looking great. Sportsplex is, your line is working well, and to my knowledge, the Sandpoint school is heated, and there has not been any new issues. I haven't seen anything on MC, and I haven't been told anything in strategic planning. So knock on wood, everything is going smoothly, and then I just ended off with some regular meetings attended. If anyone has any questions, comments, just please let me know. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Talia. Question? Okay. Thank you. Ernie?
Unless you're going to call me next. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. My report is also in the packet. I was thinking about fishery disaster relief, so that's the first thing on here. Chignik stem plan was released last week. The borough had submitted comments on behalf of the Southeast District Mainland Set Net Fishermen. The department didn't bite on that, and so that's fine. But we just did get a copy of the final spend plan for the two crab disasters that total up to $191 million that was appropriated. And communities, the crab communities, the five crab communities, of which the borough is one, get 5% of that off the top, which is $9.5 million. So those crab communities are King Cove, Accutan, Ocean's East Borough, Kodiak, and Dutch Harbor. And so that's going to be some money sometime down the road if everybody approves those spend plans. And I've listed a whole bunch of the recent Alaska fishery determinations. Now, North Pacific Council meets next month, second week in February, and I've listed the big items on the agenda. Also this year, they're going to be looking at rationalization programs, which was mentioned at the strategic planning, and the big item for April is going to be the chum salmon analysis. Board of Fish is meeting this week in Kodiak, and the last week in February and the first week in March, they'll be meeting at the Egan Center on Cook Inlet proposals. Good time to go talk to the board members. And proposals for statewide shellfish are due April 10th. I got this one from Mark Hickey on the Alaska Legislature. He had noticed HB 169 was part one of the pre-filed bills. Or no, it's not a pre-filed bill, but it's got a hearing. And this would allow removing Andromedas or freshwater finfish from the water, collecting gametes and fertilizing and incubating eggs. And Mark was just wondering if we had any problems with that. And if anybody does, I would sure appreciate your comments. The pre-filed bills for this second session were, there's first set filed on Monday, and there was nothing to do with fisheries that we should be concerned about. The second set will be posted tomorrow, so we'll be watching those. The two SB 128 and HB 180 that would close the area on fishery, they're still on the table, as it were. So we'll be watching for those. And then I put a picture in our article about the white raven, and I'm hoping that's a good omen. And I'll take any questions.
Okay, thanks. Any questions?
Okay, thank you. Charlotte. Okay, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, you have my report in the packet. I will kind of work through projects like I normally do, so starting with the Trawl EM program. We've just been working on kind of getting ready for what we thought would be like a little bit more of a robust A season. And we made some minor adjustments to the triple emit performance standards and have communicated that to the fleet. There should be a saltwater technician out in Sandpoint right now until the beginning of pollock, just to be working on vessels and make sure everything is good to go as they start going out on trips. I did submit the final financial and programmatic reports for the NIFWIF grant that we call Western Gulf 3, so the third year of funding. So that grant is being closed out and did come in slightly under budget for observers because we didn't really have an A season, and so we didn't have to pay for those observers. I also received a preliminary report from Saltwater on our switchgear sub-project that you've probably heard me talk about, and we did successfully demonstrate that trawl EM systems can be modified to meet the requirements for the fixed-gear EM program. And so now I'm working with the Fisheries Monitoring and Advisory Analysis Division to work on the regulations that would allow our trawl boats who switch to fixed gear to participate in fixed gear, the regulated fixed gear program, if they so choose to, whereas that was like a stopping point before. And I did want to thank Julian because he was one of the volunteers, but he's not here, so he volunteered to work with our scientists to get the footage and stuff, which we're grateful for. For salmon, there's not much, but we are having some discussions with camps to see if there's interest or usefulness in modifying the salmon data portal and kind of adapt it for the drift fleet. And as you guys all know, drift fishing and dynamics are very different from what we did for the seiners. And so I think we're still trying to figure out if that would be useful for them. But if it is, you know, we're happy to help and, you know, modify the portal if that's something that would help them. For the cod tagging project, I'm still awaiting the final budget amendment from PAC States, but otherwise I have just about finished the quarterly reimbursement and the grant is tracking as expected. We are planning to shift some funding from additional tag to genetic analysis, which I'm going to go into a little bit just because I think it's really interesting. So for the genetics update, we take genetic samples on all of the cod that we tag and that we biologically sample. And so you know how your money is working. We're currently working on whole genome sequencing Pacific cod right now, and we suspect that the whole genome sequencing will let us see if there are genetic signals that differentiate different kind of cod life history. And so really, that just means we can look at a genome sequence and see if there are cod in, say, Kodiak or the Central Gulf that look different from cod in, say, the Western Gulf and Unimak, or if there's a difference between fish that stay in the Gulf as what we consider, like, resident cod versus those that migrate long distances every year and start to tease out if those are really genetically different populations. So this is a really big deal, and people are very interested to see the results of this analysis. So I will keep you posted. I think in the next 4 or 5 months I'll have some preliminary results. As far as the council, they're meeting again, like Ernie said, in February in Seattle. I will probably attend in person. We'll be tracking a few issues Ernie outlined. One that I'm really keeping my eye on is the trawl gear definition agenda item. I think that is slated to become a very big issue and affect both pelagic and bottom trawl fishermen in the Gulf in a real, real big way. So I'm kind of keep my eye on that. And also, I think that the Central Gulf trawl fleet will move forward with proposing a discussion paper on GOA trawl efficiencies and staff tasking and potential emergency requests given the news about Trident and Kodiak. And so I think we'll want to be a part of that discussion. We will want to be there for that and also make sure that the Western Gulf is protected. And on that note, the borough is sort of hosting a trawl fleet meeting tomorrow. It was on the 8th, it got pushed, to just give the fishermen an opportunity to voice their concerns about the recent Trident news and collectively discuss some ideas and potential solutions for protections in 610 and options to help stabilize, I said pollock fishery, but really just the groundfish fisheries in the Gulf, both short-term and long-term. And I think the results from that will help feed into potential council actions or for a discussion paper or emergency ruling for the coming year. Sorry, that was a lot, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Charlotte?
Well, we'll come, John. I'm sure you're following the East Coast Supreme Court case coming on observers on the herring fishery. And I think we'll make oral arguments. The Supreme Court comes next week, and the decision is a few months from all the place. But it could affect nationwide the improvement program.
Mm-hmm.
And if they win, I think we probably got to be prepared in case there's a wholesale change in how that program's run. Some people are aware of it, some aren't.
Yeah, thank you. I haven't heard about that, but I will go look. Maybe for the better. It'll shake up the observer program. So.
Other comments, questions? Okay, thank you. Jackie. Send your money.
Go back the other way. I forgot it. So my report is in the packet this cycle. There's not a lot of words there, but there's still a lot of stuff happening. The audit, it went through a, well, this is kind of crazy. It goes through like a technical review prior to being reviewed and then reviewed again. They give it to somebody completely unrelated to our numbers to make sure all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, the lines are formatted right. They can read it and say, oh, I understand what they're talking about, because we're so closely related to what the information is. They want to make sure that anyone can just pick it up and be like, okay, well, what is this for? So it went through that review, and there was a lot of little edits that needed to be done, but those have been addressed and returned as of last week. So we should be hearing something from them soon and having it closed out. We've already went through a corrective action plan for any of our anticipated audit findings, which is pretty, they've been addressed. The findings that we are anticipating seeing have been addressed and are no longer really an issue. So I'm excited about that, and I can stop focusing on audit and start prepping for next audit, which will be a lot smoother because a lot of the financial policies and procedures that I'm rolling into are going to be addressed throughout the year. So when the audit hits and the new GASBs are coming up, the data that I need in my mind is going to be there already so that we're not running into, like, snags, like it's taking forever because we're waiting for a lease receivable, which took forever the year before. And we did just close out the end of our calendar year, so tax information has to be prepared and be sent out to everybody for that, and should be getting done with the 1099s as soon as I get back, and we record all the rest of the December payables, and I believe we're pretty close to having all our December payables. the routine tests are going really, you know, smoothly. Everything's getting in, and but very timely now. We have a good system in place on when we want to be done, but certain things that need to go into the financials. So that's going really good. And I did not put in anything on Cassell on my report, but I did speak to another technician just last week, and we're doing a little trial with their chart of accounts because there's a lot there. And so what we just decided is we're going to just do a trial with so much and see what happens before trying to make it perfect the first time because, well, it's probably not going to be perfect, but we're going to try to take it into steps because the chart is big. And converting into the typical style is just going to be, we want to make sure that it's done right when they start pulling the data and we don't have to do a bunch of adjustments after the initial data is there. So, but she's really easy to work with, that technician that I've been dealing with, and we're just going to take it step by step. And so that will be a big priority once we get back from this meeting, is working on that chart of accounts so we can get this thing hopping along, because I would have loved to have been in Cassell last year. But the process has to go through the process. I have to remind myself that. It's going to be nice. There's going to be some, you know, differences in, like, the financial, the way you see them, but it's going to be set up right where that you can understand it right from the get-go. So, and we, now that we've done all the work with our cash management plan and our analysis, and, I mean, everything's just going to be way more transparent. I just wanted to mention it on my report, but I did have, like, specifics on the question you asked about our interest revenue. So the money, all of our money that we have is gaining interest, except for the small portion we need for our cash flows in and out. So nothing sitting there being, you know, not being invested for no reason. So, but in our general fund, it's the money that is in there gaining that interest that we see every month is our operational reserve trust account and our money, the first pot of money for the cash management fund.
We also have the money that's set aside for that second.
It's been a decade since American cities began working to eliminate traffic fatalities.
2%? No, 10%. Okay, I couldn't remember. That's also sitting in there generating revenue. We set that aside a few meetings ago to make sure we could make that payment. Well, that money is making money. We're also making money off our permanent fund appropriations, what we've appropriated throughout the years. We've set it aside so that we can make those obligations, but also we're generating revenue off of those funds as well. Contributions for Trident Airport and harbor contributions, those are in separate pots making money. Those are general fund revenues. And also the match that we set aside for the Sandpoint School project is also generating revenue in the general fund. So we set those aside for that purpose, but they're still making money in our general fund. The transportation funds that we have set aside that are only for transportation purposes is making money, but in Fund 20, you'll see that in Fund 20 because we can't, that's restricted. We can only have certain things that we can do with those funds, as well as the LATCF funds and our ARPA funds, which are also generating money, but in Fund 20 because that's what we have to use it for. And the maintenance reserve fund that we put together, that is, you'll see in Fund 41 under interest revenue. That $147,000 we put away in the beginning for the maintenance reserve is also generating revenue, and you will see that in Fund 41, our 41201. Every month you'll see an amount posted into that fund that shows that the money we set aside is making money, but we'll be spending that, but we're still making something. So nothing's really sitting idle anywhere for the revenue portions and interest. And I just wanted to give you that answer. So if you guys have any other questions about my report, I will try and answer.
Thanks, Jackie. Questions for Jackie? Okay. That's the end of the report then, so thank you, everybody. We're going to do assembly comments and then public comments. Yeah. Sorry. So we're down to assembly comments.
Mr. Meredith, Chris, can I bring something up to the table? Yeah, I wanted to know what actually happened with the power outage over in Cold Bay. I know it affected our terminal, which is where FAA is, and weather service, and then the airlines. And I don't know if it's something that we may look into, and possibly putting a backup generator. I know we had that generator that we had for the hovercraft here that sat in our yard here for several years, and it's still sitting in the yard today, so I'm sure that it's probably not usable, but I think it's definitely something that we probably should look into, is seeing what it would take to possibly have some kind of a backup generator there, since there's some pretty important businesses within our terminal that we need to take care of. So,
okay. Well, the only thing that I've heard, and it's secondhand, is basically, it sounds like one of the power lines went out to the terminal, and they have strung a line across the ground for now until they can get in and repair the original line. And you said a generator sitting in a yard. Is it in a Connex?
No.
Yeah, it was the one that was in the Connex that we put out for bid, and then nobody wanted it, and we were going to possibly donate it maybe to Avtec or something, to a school for diesel mechanics or something, but it's still sitting in the yard here in King Cove, so.
Okay. Good to know.
I was just a little concerned because I know the weather station was down there, and I know that it caused problems with Raven and Aleutian Air getting in and out, and so it would be something maybe to just keep on the back of our mind that possibly that might be something that we might look into if we do have initial funds, or we do, look at maintaining it again or something. So that's all I got.
Oh, that's good, Chris. Yeah, we'll put that on a list of things to take a look at.
That went to the NAC or Hall of Harbor Tribe for their generator out in the island.
That's right. Take it out and let it
out. It's not ours
anymore,
yeah. though.
Okay. We'll look into it.
And this Rachel or Rochelle was had on there that G&K had it. She's totally fixed for now.
Okay. Other assembly comments?
Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is about a proposed ordinance to change the election date. And it's very simple, straightforward, and it's to move our municipal election, which now is October, to November, when the national elections are. And the main reason I think we should consider it is we have an October election, very poor turnout. It's embarrassingly low in some communities. And I think this would help a lot. And because of the timing and elections in the fall, we'd have to introduce an ordinance and have first and second reading pretty soon in order to do it. But if we do it, I think the municipalities, King Cole, Sandpoint, Paul's Pass, Akatan, would kind of say, yeah, that's a good idea, because I really can't think of it and kind of figure out how to get better turnout for years. And I think some of the staff in the borough has also thought about it over the years. And this is a very simple thing, and some communities already have done it, and all we've taken just an ordinance change. So I would hope that after talking to a few people, you'd say, yeah, that's worth talking about. We don't necessarily have to pass it, but if we have it on the agenda as a first reading at least, and have time reading, even if we can now just give people time to digest it and think about it and form their own opinion and see if it's appropriate for the world to do, which I think it is. I have to think about for a long time. And we'll have a better turnout. I'd like to see 100% turnout if you could do it. I don't know how to do that. I have no idea. I got 100% turnout. Well, anyway, that was all. I just wanted to bring that up.
So. No, that's, yeah, we can do some research into the pros and cons and talk to the other communities. But I, you know, just off the top of my head, I would think with the communities in the borough that at least you'd want all the communities on the same page so election day was the same for everyone rather than splintering them all up going on. But, you know, this is a nationwide problem. Nobody's voting anywhere for some crazy reason. But anyway, we'll take a look at it.
And just matter for the, there's always like the movie, we do it, if we build it, they will come in and get the community to follow along.
It will not ever help probably a third of the people. If you have a felony on your record, you can't vote.
We have far. The turnout, if you look at the actual turnout, it is embarrassingly low.
Oh, I know. I look at it every year. I follow it. But there's still going to be a large section of people who cannot vote. And if you've got a felony on your record, you can't vote.
I just wanted to bring up the idea I didn't want to.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take a look at it. Other assembly comments? Okay.
Oh, maybe other Chinese assembly member here now. With our strategic plan we just went through, was based on more or less trying to move it out of Akatan. What are we going to do when we leave the river? Well, come to find out today, the disaster is getting worse. All talking about disaster. Peter Pan announced today they're not buying tanners or cod. They're closed. The doors are closed. They're buttoning things up for the do a skeleton crew or something out of King Cove right now. So that's like devastating news for us in King Cove and for the borough. So we'll get another one to add to the list. It's a Peter Pan. So just, it's, you know, like, I'm sure that there's going to be somebody who wants to buy fish in the world yet. You know, we've seen some of this happen before where the ownership changed hands and the pot that they grab money out of. There, obviously, you know, their same banking situation. Well, that has their problems. But anyway, I'm kind of upset about it at the moment, but we'll see how things work out. And sounds like some other, well, okay, I can't get into that. I'll get off these. So anyway, that's the news I have for an assembly. And thank you, Annie, and the staff, for Alvin, for the work you guys put in to put on our strategic plan and to plan for the times that are coming. It doesn't look that hot, really, you know. But we're a resilient people out there. We're going to make ends meet, and hopefully, we'll be able to take care of our communities and do not let our communities die. Because when the smiling, laughing, hollering children go quiet in the community, community is dying. So we can't have that. So anyway, that'll be my comment. Thank you.
Yep, appreciate that. And you know, one thing, since we just did our planning session, and as all of you know, Annie and I, staff, have been working on something projected for 2028. And it just so happened it happened in 2023. So we were pretty much online getting ready for this. So it made it, if we hadn't been planning for it, we couldn't have had this planning session right now, because this has taken a couple of years for us to put together. So even though it's Trident we were looking at to start with, now there's another one, it's not going to change the strategy of the borough in the short term going down the road, because we showed you everything that we have to pay to keep the borough functioning. That still is going to stay the same. Now, in the long run, it might affect more of the projects and what have you going on, but we don't know enough about it yet to go that far. But I'm comfortable right now. We have a fairly good handle on it, and some people aren't going to be very happy because certain things would have to get cut out. But we do know we have basic infrastructure that we have to pay for. We have to keep schools running, and we have to help the fisheries up. So things above and beyond that aren't 100% necessary, we're going to have to take hard look at that. But I think we're on the right path. So, anyway, thank you for that. Other comments? Okay. So, public comments.
First of all, thank you for your service. Who's on the other end of this? Thank you for your service. I don't know if you realize that we're in a lot of trouble. I've been in the fishing business for many years. I've never seen it like this with botulism or farm fish or anything. It's completely different. But what I was wondering, if this assembly went after our politicians, when AFA went through, I don't know if you were there when AFA went through, it wasn't supposed to affect any other fisheries in the state. Well, it has. And what I'm getting at is, like Crichton Seafoods is the only American company probably that's in the AFA. The rest is Norwegian and Japanese. All this money, it's a $1 billion industry, is gone over to Japan or Norway. It's not staying in this country. You have people up in the CDQ group that never fished a day in their life. Each one of these groups is worth about $400 million, probably. I'm just talking. I'm asking questions. It's not true. And there should be some way we should be able to go after the politicians and say, this is what you're doing with AFA for these people that are not even Americans, and you're hurting the people. And how you're hurting the people in the Gulf is the product. There's too much product out there in the Bering Sea. There's over $1 billion, what is it, $100 and some million of pollock being harvested, over $1 billion being harvested. And that affects the price. We're also managed now on whether they're going to harvest the Bering Sea product before it'll harvest the Gulf product. We're being affected like that. it just maybe these Japanese companies or maybe these Norwegian companies or even Triton will work with us. You know, you need $200 million to keep Peter Pan gone right now. You should be able to come up with $200 million. We should have done it a long time ago there, but we need help. We need help from our politicians. We need to let them know. You need to get it in the paper and see what's going on. I don't think it's fair. Well, nothing's not fair, but you need to start someplace, and that's the only place I can see where you could start. The government is going to have to bail us out. There's nobody going to go into one of these processors, and bail something out that's been continuously losing money. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. There.
And that's one of the questions. And another question is, I don't know what the borough is doing or what road you're going down, but you take this billion-dollar operation in Bering Sea, billion-plus. I mean, these catcher processors, they're moneymakers. I mean, you know, they're just like printing money when you have a catcher processor out there. But that would be, say, if there was a borough in Dutch Harbor, that would be extra $20 million, something to look forward to. You guys ever think of that, sir? Annexing? You can't annex, but you can let somebody else annex you.
Well, you can annex.
You can.
There was talk about that, but then the population size in Dutch Harbor versus Solutions East for a population size group. We hate to even think of having to have a voting, you know, like a board like now to be one Aleutians East, two Aleutians East borough guys, and seven or eight in the charm.
Not necessarily.
No, not really. No, it's all voting.
Well, I mean, that's besides the point. Now, the point now is we're in trouble.
Oh,
I need help. I've called
Kowski's
office and the other guy's office.
Couple of things. So, on Trident, move, there was always a lot of question of whether or not they could move that pollock allocation out of Akutan to any other port, right? So I don't think we've got a report back on that yet.
No, but I believe we should have a preliminary analysis by next meeting, or a legal opinion.
So that will work again. Any other questions since we're on time, I would rather not answer at this time.
So your privacy working on this.
Anyway, you have another one?
No, thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, one more comment. I want to thank Melvin for coming down and stepping forward here. He's a long time elder fisherman of ours in Aleutians East Borough. Watching him as a youngster going through the fish board meeting 35 years ago, I idolized that man right there. And I want to recognize you as a steward of our fisheries out here. And by not having you there would make me feel uneasy. How am I supposed to do this myself, you know? So I want to thank Melvin for coming forward to this meeting today and to be able to thank him for his years of service and being at every fish board meeting, and that's what the borough is all about, to take care of our fisheries. So I'd like to say that. Thank you to Mel.
I'm not saying I'm right, but there's got to be a basketball on
somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's coming. Okay.
This is Julian Ramos with Lady Elias, representing just our boats, our company out there. We have a house and three boats and a tender. And it came with a lot of notes today, and unfortunately over the last day and a half from that strategic planning, some of the questions, comments, I think you guys answered. I just learned, literally, when we were here about what's going on in King Cove, that was the other part of why I wanted to come in, was express sort of my concern with Peter Pan, and it sounds like they're not going to be buying, from what I understand, or heard that as well. So a lot of what I was going to say was addressing that, and it's kind of out the window because they're not going to be buying fish now for the winter. So we're still trying to figure that out. I think the one thing it shows over the last year, we've seen all the Peter Pan fishermen have seen either a lack of payment or not timely payments, and yet we still have gone back and delivered to the King Cove. So what that shows you is the importance of having processing facilities in King Cove. It's also an important standpoint, and a lot of that has to do with location. You know, you have that much closer to the fishing grounds in both the standpoint for pollock and king cobra for all sorts of species. So we can't lose that processing in King Cove. And I'm not sure what you guys can do about it or we can do about it, but I think it's clearly a concern, and this newest news is making it even more concerning. Also think, you know, a little push for what's happening in False Pass and having, you know, some access to the docks so that potentially Silver Bay maybe do some more processing, and we're pushing from just us fishermen to get them back into whitefish, because the way it's looking right now is Peter Pan's not doing it. There's one company that's doing whitefish, and that's never a good thing. And so from our end, we're pushing, and we can only push so much, and I think just pushing for trying to be transparent and try to help out in making processing and False Pass as well more available are going to be important. And then I just like to thank you guys for your time and your contributions. At last year, the Board of Fish, you guys gave us a lot of money. I'm on the Area Standards Association Board, and we appreciate that. And the research that Charlotte and the work that Charlotte and Ernie are doing is, I think, paramount and important to our vitality. So thank you, guys.
Okay, appreciate it.
You don't have anywhere else to go fish, like credit won't take the other book.
We do, because Peter Pan didn't process 6-10 pollock for the species, so we delivered fish to UNICA kind of this roundabout, and so we have a crab market at UNICA, that's in Dutch, you know, it's not part of the borough, but that's kind of been trying, no, I don't believe so. Dwayne said they said no to him. So, yeah, I think that's where we're going.
Yeah. Okay. Other public comments? So, you know, just, I guess I'd want to say, you know, I think most of these boroughs and municipalities, municipal government, we've got a staff of 8, and you know, you've been at the meetings yesterday and today, and you can see the list of projects that we do and all the other things that we do. We've got 2 people that are in our natural resources department, and everybody is pretty much maxed out on what you can do right now. But, you know, one of the things, since I've been mayor, one of the things I've always told my staff, the first time I did it was I told the staff, I said, when the meeting starts, I want everybody at the Board of Fish meeting. And one staff member at the time, I remember, said, well, I was planning on taking a day off. And I said, well, take 2. I said, use the second one to dust off your resume. From that time on, everybody's been there. You know, because this is our livelihood, it's your livelihood. Mm-hmm. So we keep this up, we can keep doing it. But I've always told them, I want staff to be in a support position helping the fishermen. So if we need to provide graphs, do paperwork, type testimonies for people, that type of thing we should do. But I think we would short time get in trouble if the fishermen started looking at us to take the lead and be the organizers. I think the fishermen have to maintain that position. I really do. But with that being said, we're there 100% for support on whatever we can do. If there's things that we can do on a national level or a state level, we have lobbyists both federally and in the state of Alaska. That's part of what Annie and I do is go to both Washington, D.C., anywhere in the state we need to go to and try and work on some of these issues. But as far as taking on more projects, say if you guys said we want you to do this, seriously, we don't have enough staff. We don't. But I'm a fisherman all my life too, so I mean we understand it, but we have to be kind of careful as a municipality on what we do. But we're going to do everything we can to help, because if you don't make any money, the borough doesn't make any money.
And if the bird doesn't make any money, all the projects that we're doing, all the bonding things that we have, the education system, we can't afford it. We have to be out there with you taking care of it. With that, does anybody else have any other comments? Melvin, you're thinking about something.
No? I just know we need help.
Yeah, and we are. We will help as much as we can. And I think now is probably the best time ever. I wish we had PMA back full strength, so all the fishermen were together, and it would be easier to deal with everyone, but we don't have one.
Okay, so with that, if there's no other comments, our next meeting date is February 8th, is our regular meeting, and I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.